I expect most of us are subject at times to fits of fretfulness. I have to confess that I am when things go wrong, and it is then that, like Jacob of old, we start to complain and say, all these things are against me. But in our hearts we know it's a sin, because we also know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Added to that, there are definite and repeated commands in the Word of God to fret not thyself. In this connection, let us take for our scripture reading the first 11 verses of Psalm 37. If the whole of this psalm is read, it will be seen that there was a certain amount of justification for a righteous man getting hot under the collar, as he saw wicked folk in great prosperity plotting against the just and getting great power into their hands. Nevertheless, as our reading will show, there is a thrice repeated injunction to fret not thyself, and reasons are given for not fretting. And so we read from Psalm 37, verse 1. Psalm 37, verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Incidentally, this psalm is one of those portions of scripture which particularly delight the heart of the Bible student, increasing faith in the inspired word of truth because of its absolute perfection. Without spending too much time on this aspect, it can be said that the whole psalm is a perfect acrostic. Each successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet has two verses of two lines each, except the fourth letter, verse 7, the 11th letter, verse 20, and the 19th letter, verse 34, which each have three lines. Moreover, these three triplet verses occur in perfect order. The seventh verse is the seventh letter from the beginning of the alphabet. Verse 34 is the seventh letter from the end, while the middle verse, verse 20, marks the end of the first half of the psalm, with the first of the two middle letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Coming back to those first 11 verses which we read, they are full of counsel and advice, and each precept is followed by the reason why it should be obeyed and fretting avoided. It will be seen that verses 2, 9, and 10 start with the word for, and that, of course, could be read as because. Fret not, because. The same remarks apply to verses 27 to 29. The remainder of this psalm is a series of contrasts between the lawless and the righteous. Psalm 37 can well be compared with Psalm 73, in which another man voiced his concern at the prosperity of the wicked, and wondered whether his chastening and suffering was in vain. But when he went into the sanctuary of God, he understood the end to which the ungodly would come. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 19 and 20, underline this. Proverbs 24:19 says, "Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked, for there shall be no reward to the evil man, the candle of the wicked shall be put out." Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 3 says, "The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord." That pinpoints the real trouble, doesn't it? And brings it home to our own evil hearts of unbelief. To me, Psalms 37 and 73 speak of what I am disposed to call the long-term view. I know we only have to live a day at a time, in fact, moment by moment, and that sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. But God, who alone can declare the end from the beginning, has graciously told us so often in his word, and in no uncertain terms, what are the respective ends of the righteous and the wicked, that I feel those of us who love the Lord and his word are encouraged to look forward from time to time. Verse 37 of our Psalm 37, for instance, "Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace." After all, isn't that one of the great lessons concerning faith as set out in Hebrews chapter 11? Those old heroes of faith died without receiving the promises, but they had seen them from afar, they were persuaded they would be fulfilled, and so their faith sustained them in all sorts of trials. The great secret of faith in Christ is that we can afford to wait. Just look at some of the references in Psalm 37. Verse 7, for instance, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." Verse 9, "Those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." Verse 34, "Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land." What encouraging words there are in those first 11 verses of Psalm 37. Verse 3, "Trust in the Lord." Verse 4, "Delight thyself in the Lord." Verse 5, "Commit thy way unto the Lord." I love that verse 5. You see, according to the margin, the Hebrew reads, "Roll thy way upon the Lord." And sometimes burdens are too heavy to lift, but they can generally be rolled. What a lovely thought.